بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، ما بعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تغضب فرده مرارا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أول الغضب جنون وآخره ندم، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Let us all recite Durood Sharif. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، respected elders, dear brothers, on one occasion a person came to beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, give me some advice. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at this person and he said to him, la taghdab, don't get angry, do not get angry. So he asked, O Nabi of Allah, okay, give me additional advice. And he said, la taghdab, do not get angry. Then he asked again, and then again he was told, la taghdab, do not get angry. فَرَدَّهُ مِرَانًا, he repeated these words over and over again. Now, from this we can learn clearly that what is the guidance of Islam regarding the matter of anger, temper. And why did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to that individual so many times? When he asked that, every advisor said the same thing to him. The commentators say that perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had informed him beforehand about this person's problem, that he had this anger problem. Therefore Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated this so that it would be beneficial to this individual. But remember, his teachings were not confined to individuals specifically. It was for his whole ummah. And so this advice is applicable to the entire ummah. This advice of do not get angry. And there are so many other narrations. There's an ayat of the Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يسروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described these people as والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين. These pious servants in the eyes of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described their qualities and attributes, and amongst their attributes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described that they are والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين. It will be better to understand this ayat in the light of one incident. The incident relates to the great grandson of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam Zain al-Abidin. As we know, Imam Zain al-Abidin was the son of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Actually, he was the one, the son of not Hazrat Ali, the grandson of Hazrat Ali, the son of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the only one that survived from the male members of the family of Sayyidina Hussein at Karbala. 72 members of Ahlul Bayt, the beloved family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, were made shaheed in that battle, in that Karbala. Great tragedy, in a very dark chapter in the history of Islam. One individual survived from the entire household of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that family of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his immediate family, his brothers and so on, and their children, was Imam Zain al-Abidin. He became a very, very great alim and scholar of this ummah, great spiritual personality of this ummah. It is said about him that one day
He had sat down to eat, and the servant was serving the food, and accidentally a very hot drink was spilled on him at the table. Very hot drink was spilled on him. And naturally, when that happens, what is the reaction? You flare up, you get very angry. It's a human reaction. It's a human reaction. So he got extremely angry, because now he got burned, plus the garment got soiled. And he looked towards the servant with anger. And immediately the servant recited the ayat of the Holy Quran, this very ayat. And this was the level of the ordinary working people, the servants of that time. They're probably more learned than most scholars of our time. That was the level of their servants working the houses. Quran and words of Quran and Sunnah and Hadith was on their lips. This person, he recited this ayat immediately, and he said, "Wal kadhimin al-ghayz," those who suppress the anger. He recited this part of the verse, and immediately Imam Zainul Abidin calmed down. He calmed down completely. Then he recited the second part of this verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wal afina 'anil nas," and they forgive people. And when this part of the verse was read by the servant, Imam Zayn al-Abidin, by now he had already calmed down. He said, "Okay, look, I forgive you." Because that's what Allah is saying. They control their anger. They calm down, they forgive. Then he carried on, he read the next part of the ayat, "Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin," and Allah loves the doers of good. Now, what does he do? This person was not just a servant, he was also a slave in the household. A slave. He said, "Look here, now to fulfill the third part of the ayat, I set you free. Go, you are free. You are no more a slave, I've set you free." And this is how they were people who acted on Quran. They practiced on Quran. They implemented the verses of the Quran. Quran was a living book. It wasn't a book for the shelf to be read at certain times of the year, completed from cover to cover, and then put away. I read one couplet somewhere. They said they sit side by side, the Holy Quran and the TV guide. They're sitting side by side on the shelf, the Holy Quran and the TV guide. But the TV guide is used up more, and the Quran is still brand new. Nevertheless, the point I'm making is that they practiced on Quran. They implemented. When the ayats were recited, they acted upon the ayats. Look at this example of Imam Zain al-Abidin. He calmed down immediately when the ayat of Quran was read. Then he forgave, and then he did an act of kindness. Now look at the importance of controlling one's emotion of anger. Therefore it is said that the difference between danger and anger is just one letter, D. You take out the D from danger and then you got anger. Or you add the D to anger and you have danger. That's how bad it is. That anger would add the D and it becomes danger. Becomes a dangerous situation. And today, unfortunately, my dear brothers, we as a Muslim community, there's a lack of discipline, there's a lack of Islamic values, there's a lack of Islamic character. We get angry quickly, we get angry over little things, we flare up, and then we don't calm down. We pursue that anger. And these days, unfortunately, there is a kind of mindset that, you know, to show your anger, to display your anger, that is masculinity. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What a direct, diametrical understanding, opposite understanding, diametrically opposite understanding of what the true Islamic values are. A brave person, a courageous person in Islam is not one who displays his bravado and who acts in anger. In fact, I just remember now the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on a similar note. One day he told the Sahaba, "Laysa shadidu bi sur'a." The person who's a wrestler is not strong in the eyes of Allah. Because he's physically mighty, he's strong, muscular, well-built, you know, maybe gymming, pumping iron, taking his, you know, whatever, protein shakes and all these things, and now he's strong, so he can, you know, floor somebody easily. No. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is not a strong person in the eyes of Allah. Laysa shadidu bi sur'a. This strong wrestler type is not strong in the eyes of Allah. Innama shadid, the strong person in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alladhi yamliku ghadabahu, or alladhi yamliku nafsahu indal ghadabi. The person who is able to control himself and is control his temper at the time when he's provoked, he becomes angry, but he does not give vent to his anger, but he controls his anger. That is a strong person in the eyes of Allah. That is like the wrestler in the eyes of Allah. That is a strong man. Not the physically strong person. The person who is strong in self-discipline. Such a person is strong in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, this is a very, very unfortunate development in our community, that people feel that to display your anger, to act, you know, like with masculinity, to display that, you know, bravado, and, you know, to become vulgar and to fight back. And even, unfortunately, it's gone to the level that parents also are promoting this kind of behavior. You know, there's a little children in school, in madrasa, these things happen every day. My beloved Ustaz, our principal is here, right? This is a day-to-day occurrence, right? They're fighting. These little things happen in amongst children, amongst youth, scholars, students, right? Now, it is the duty of parents, of the elders in the community, educators to school them, to teach them, to guide them. Look here, when something like this happens, you back down, you become the humble person, you become the forgiving person. But today, unfortunately, the teachings that are being conveyed to the children, and so what happened? What you did? No, daddy, you know, I stood up and I gave him one punch. Yeah, good man, you should have floored him too. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Now this is what is being taught to the children now. I'm not saying everyone is doing it, but it says a percentage of the people who feel that this is how they need to bring their children up, and then that is a habit that sets in. And they grow up with that, you know, aggressive nature. That aggression they grow up with. Aggro, as they call it, you know. And now, anywhere and everywhere, there's some little thing. Oh, the man is just, you know. Then what will happen is eventually he starts manifesting that on his own children, his family. He does that to his wife. He does it to his children eventually. He does it to his workers. He does it to his staff. Then he does that in the public. And then Allah forgive us. Allah have mercy on us. Allah guide our ummah. Where are we going? It is so heart-rending, heart-breaking, heart-wrenching that we find that now people have no control over anger. Small little things happen. It can happen in a parking lot. It can happen on the roadside. A little fender bender, as they call it. Just a little bit of people come out in anger and they are swearing and shouting and wanting to, you know, fight for something that is, it's a thing that happens every day, everywhere in the world it happens. amazing quality I've seen about the Arab people, that they get angry quickly, but they calm down very quickly too. And what is the quickest way to calm an angry person down there in that part of the world? Just tell the person, Salli ala Rasool, Salli ala Rasool, read Durood, read Durood. Everybody starts reading Durood Sharif, that person reads Durood Sharif, the whole situation is calm. Like nothing happened. But here, unfortunately, it goes to a level, then there's fights, physical fight, and then Allah forbid, weapons are brandished, and then there's shooting, and people are getting killed, Allahu Akbar. Brothers, know what I'm talking about. I mean, I'm not dribbling around here now. I'm coming straight to the point now. I'm coming straight to the point now. Look at what is happening. Look at that footage that came out. Wallahi, my dear brothers, I couldn't even look at more than a few seconds. When I saw, I just switched off completely. It was too horrendous, horrendous to see that. To see something like this. And the masoom children, Ya Allah. And what was the benefit? What came out of it? What was achieved out of it? A person, a Muslim ummati, a follower of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, lost his life on the street. Muslim sister is shot there. The person who shot, we're not saying he's guilty in any way. That will be decided by the law. Who provoked, who didn't provoke, what happened, how it happened, the background. We don't know the details. But whatever the details may be, the bottom line is that a Muslim life was lost. A Muslim woman was shot. Muslim little children were traumatized, probably traumatized for life after this. I wouldn't want to wish this on anyone's children. May Allah not let anyone's children, leave alone Muslim, anyone's children see something like this, that in front of your eyes your father is shot down in cold blood and the blood is oozing on the tarmac of the road. Let us, my dear brothers, take a lesson out of these type of things. Let us go back to the teachings of our deen. Our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us the principles of anger management. It's been taught to us. It's there. How many guidances are given? We said, when you're angry, then read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. When you're angry, change your posture. If you are standing, sit down. If you are sitting, lie down. He said, walk away. Don't stay there if it's going to provoke your temper more. He said that if that anger gets hold of you, drink water. Because it's fire. Anger is from shaitan. Shaitan is made of fire. Extinguish that fire by drinking water. These are direct techniques taught to us in the hadith of beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have been given these teachings, anger management guidelines, directly from beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These things are to be implemented. It's not that we just hear about it and we say, okay, fine. The implementation is what is important. If we don't implement these things, then we're going to have all this, you know, horrendous developments and stories and heartbreaking things. This is not the first time also, by the way. There have been incidents like this in the past too. And this anger and this display of this ill mannerism and so on is a very, very poor reflection on our community. Sometimes we see even in a sporting event. It's a sporting event. You must be sportsmanlike. But they take it so personally that now one team lost, then they become vulgar, then they start fisticuffs and, Ya Allah, what is this? Parents are jumping in and getting involved and all of that. It's not the way we are supposed to bring up our children. This is not the type of behavior we are supposed to have. This is not what we are supposed to display. Allah Ta'ala guide us, the Ummah, and bring us onto the path of Quran and Sunnah and our Islamic values and Islamic teachings and the ability to control our anger, control our temper, to drink that anger up. Because Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned in one hadith, and I end off on this note, the person who will drink his anger in this world for the pleasure of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah, he is angry, but he drinks his anger for the pleasure of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him a choice of the women of Jannah, that choose which one you like, she is yours. Allahu Akbar. You have one gulp of that bitter drink, and what you're getting in return. So, therefore, we should put these things into practice. May Allah give me tawfiq, give us all tawfiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our ummah. Allah bring our ummah on the straight path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for those families that have gone through this trauma, especially the masoom children who witnessed this traumatic incident. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let everything get resolved in the best possible way. That every loss to the ummah is a loss to all of us. Any loss to one ummati is a loss to the whole ummah. Every member of this ummah is a valuable member. Every life of this ummah is a valuable life. Every Muslim is a servant of Allah. Every Muslim is one who is worshipping Allah. Every Muslim is one who does good deeds. Every Muslim's deeds are accepted by Allah and brings good conditions on earth. Therefore, Muslim lives are valuable. Muslim lives are precious. We should be lamenting the loss of a life, especially when there was no benefit at all. And there's no outcome at all. Also, my dear brothers, the conditions in the world are deteriorating very quickly. The situation in the Middle East is very tense. There is this on-off talk about truce and having some kind of ceasefire and so on. But by the signs of it, it appears to be just buying of time and deception. And Allah knows best the ultimate intention, what it is. Is it to continue with this war with greater vigor? Is it just to replenish depleted stocks of weapons and come back with greater fury? As it is, it was called epic fury. Fury, the same relating to anger again. So, Allah have mercy, conditions are deteriorating, things are becoming difficult, shortages are being felt in all parts of the world. And we know that when there's fuel shortages, then everything else is impacted. There's shortages of all kinds of things, agriculture, all these things, food production, everything. There's shortages of products, commodities. Cost of living goes up. Things become very expensive. The ordinary people, the poor people in the street, they go through such difficult times that they hardly can cope. As it is, our country is the most unequal country in the world. According to all the statistics and all the analysis, this in fact the most unequal country in the world in terms of economic resources. There is a huge population of people who are below even bread line level, and a small pocket of very wealthy people. And these type of imbalances are at the time when there's a crisis, then the impact of it is felt very much, and it leads to all kinds of, you know, upheavals and disruptions and all of that. May Allah make it easy for us in the future, for the whole ummah, the Muslims in the Middle East, our Muslim families there. Many South African Muslim families are settled in the Middle East now. They are jittery, they have no idea what's coming, what to do. You got your work there, you got your employment there, that's your rosy, that's your bread and butter, that's your earning. Do you leave all that and come back to your home country? And then what do you do here? How do you pick up your pieces of your life again? How do you start again? What do you do? People are in difficult, they're dilemmas. They have to make certain difficult decisions. It's not easy. I can tell you, my dear brothers, it's not going to be easier as we go forward. Things are not going to be the same. There is a complete reset button that has been pressed. The world is going through a huge transformation, And we don't see that transformation for the better, it seems for the worse. At times like this, it's not about, you know, fear-mongering or creating despondency, but it's a reality check. Let us come back to reality, let's go back to our basics, let's start doing the things we're supposed to do with more seriousness. Let's follow our Islamic values and teachings with a more serious commitment and a more serious mindset than what we have been doing. And inshallah, if we hold on to our Islamic values and our Islamic teachings and the guidance of Quran and Sunnah, then no matter what the conditions outside, how it turns, how it changes, we will still have inner strength and we will have inner fortitude, and it will hold us through the difficult times. But if we are going to be weak on the inside because we lack all of this, we will crumble and we will fall down. May Allah give us tawfiq, guidance, hidayat. This is the reason why these type of programs are also help, is to strengthen us spiritually. If you have spiritual strength, you are strong. In difficult times, you will withhold, you will stand. But if we lack in spiritual strength, we are finished. One thing happens, it can make us collapse, and we won't be able to stand up again to what we see happening. So therefore, the spiritual program, the spiritual development, the spiritual power and strength is what we need to generate. May Allah give us tawfiq. Inshallah, we will do Durood Sharif now, inshallah. This is the 40 concise durood which we recite. And this is a night of durood, and durood is really a very, very powerful instrument Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. A very, very powerful tool in the peace of the heart, the peace of the mind.